Our Bibles are open to Revelation chapter 3. We're going to hopefully cover verses 7 through 13. Christ Jesus to the church at Philadelphia. Now, in this time together, we continue our study in the book of the Revelation. This church received no reprimand of any kind from our Lord. Now, we have observed previously other churches did receive a reprimand, but the church, Philadelphia, did not receive a reprimand of any kind from our Lord. It was commended in its faithfulness. This church had remained faithful, and it was recognized as such, and it was commended as such. I would that challenge could receive such a commendation from our Lord. And I'm sure that every pastor listening to this ministry could wish that they might receive such a commendation from the Lord, that we would not find, that he would not find anything to complain about. He would not find anything within the church to correct. How many of you would that the church that you attend should receive such a commendation? Stop and think about it. How many of you involved in this time together, you would that the church that you attend should receive such a commendation as this church at Philadelphia? And that church, like your church and my church, were made up of folks like me and you. Did you hear me? That church at Philadelphia, it was made up with folks like you and me, like your church, my church, folks like us. But understand this, they were under severe persecution by Rome. We're not under that kind of persecution at this time. But they were under severe persecution by Rome, and yet, in spite of the persecution, they remained faithful and steadfast. We would to God that the church of today would do the same. There's been so much compromise. So much compromise for so much of the church of today. So much of the church has become, if you will, politically correct. And then there are those doctrines and those topics in the Word of God that some churches just avoid altogether. The church was never meant just to be a place for happy people to come and be happy and get there happy and leave happy. No, the church, the body of Christ on earth today, each and every expression of that part of the body of Christ, each and every part of the body of Christ is designed to instruct, to equip, to encourage the people of God. Convict, yes. Where conviction is needful, the church is to convict. The pulpit, the pastor, is to convict. He has to teach the whole counsel of God and leave it up to the Holy Spirit to bring conviction where conviction is needed, encouragement is needed, and correction where correction is needed. But this church in Philadelphia, he had no complaints. Christ Jesus had no complaints about the church in Philadelphia. We go now to Revelation chapter 3 and verse 7. And to the angel, that's to the pastor, and to the angel of the church in Philadelphia, write these things, says he who is holy, who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. Look at this again. Look at this again. To the pastor of the church at Philadelphia, the ancient city of Philadelphia in Asia Minor, which is today modern day Turkey. These things, says he, who is holy. Who is that? Christ Jesus, the Messiah, the Savior, the Lord. These things, says he, who is holy, he who is true, true to the will of the Father, even to the cross, He came to do the will of the Father. He committed himself to do the will of the Father. He submitted and subjected himself, surrendered to the will of the Father, and did the will of the Father. He who is true, true to the will of the Father, even to the cross. He who has the key of David. He who has the power and authority. Understand me carefully. He is saying here, he who has the key of David, he who has the power and authority to admit into glory, to heaven, to eternal life. The question naturally arises in the minds of many, out of all of humanity, who are those admitted to glory? Who are those admitted to heaven? The answer is simple. Only those, in the words of Jesus, who are born again. Not just religious. No, born again. So many people are involved in so much religious activity, and they're assuming that their involvement in religious activity will grant them entrance into heaven. Won't do it. No. Jesus, I have preached this so many times, but in speaking to that religious man, that man Nicodemus, who was involved in the leadership of the, what you would call the church, the religious movement in Jerusalem, coming to Jesus, he knew something was missing. As involved as he was in all the religious activity that he was involved in, he knew that something was missing. It wasn't quite right. He couldn't get the peace. He could not get the peace of God in his spirit. And so he came to Jesus. He came to Jesus with a question. And the question he asked was, he wanted to know how a man could inherit eternal life. Jesus said, you must be born again. You must be born again. You see, that question naturally arises in the minds of many. What do I have to do to be assured of glory when I die? What do I have to do to be assured of entrance into heaven when I die? Only those born again. Just being religious won't get it done. Being involved in religious activity will not get it done. Being involved in a system of religion will not get it done. Out of all of humanity, who are those admitted to glory at death in heaven? Who? Listen to what I'm asking you. Out of all of humanity, who are those who will be admitted to glory, to heaven, when they die? Let me answer that for you. And I use the answer of Jesus. Only those, in the words of Jesus, who are born again. Those are the ones. It doesn't matter. The religious activity is not the problem. Must be born again. And I'm telling you, folks, listen to me. I'm telling you, so much of the church is inhabited and indwelt by, and those involved in it, so many are religious, involved in religious activity. And so many are involved in religions and religious activity that in no way gives them favor with God. None, zip, zero, none. It's just religious activity. It's not a life indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. It's not a life powered, enabled by the Holy Spirit of God. No. You see, the life cannot be enabled and empowered by the Holy Spirit of God until one is indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God, and one cannot be indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God until they're born again. Being religious and participating in a religious organization is not sufficient. It's not. John 14:6, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. No man Jesus said, I and I alone am the way and the truth and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Now we'll go back to the verse again. Watch it carefully. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia, write these things, says he, who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. He who opens and no one shuts, to whom will he open the door? To whom will Jesus open the door to heaven, to glory, to eternal life? He has to open the door. So to whom will he open the door? Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And those are the ones for whom and to whom Christ Jesus will open the door to glory. Those who have been born again. Those who have been saved. Saved from an eternity in hell. Saved from their sins. And saved to an eternity in heaven, in the kingdom of God. Regardless of the sinfulness and the wickedness of the past life. Look at the Word of God once again. Romans 10:13, whosoever, the prostitute, the homosexual, the thief, the liar, the murderer, the one who has in any way defied the Word of God, disobeyed the Word of God, denied Christ Jesus, maybe for a lifetime, but through the convicting, illuminating power of the Holy Spirit of God, all these years they knew something was not right. Yes, I am involved in religious activity up to my ears. I am involved weekly, sometimes daily, but I'm involved weekly in religious activity, but somehow way down deep in my heart, I know that I am not ready for the angel of death. I'm not ready for eternity. Yes, I'm religious. Yes, I'm involved in religious activity. But I'm not ready for eternity. And that's where Nicodemus was. Nicodemus was up to his eyebrows in religious activity. He was a leader among the religious leadership of the nation. But he knew, in spite of all of his religious activity, something was missing. He was not right with God. He knew that he was not ready to face death. He knew he was not ready for death. And he came to Jesus, seeking some answers. And Jesus made it very simple. Nicodemus, you must be born again. And you see, here's the beautiful part. Regardless of your sinful, wicked past, if you're willing to believe and willing to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you're willing to go before the throne of God saying, Father God, I'm a sinner, and I'm confessing I'm a sinner, and I'm telling you, Father God, that I want to be born again. I want to become a new creation. I want to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I'm not depending on my involvement in any expression of religious life and religious activity to get me into glory. No, I'm coming to you, Father God. And I'm saying to you, Father God, I am a sinner, but I'm willing to believe. I want to believe. I'm willing to believe. I'm asking you, Holy Spirit of God, enable me, empower me to believe. I want to believe. I want to trust. I want to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. No human being, no man, no religious movement. I'm trusting you, Jesus. Yes, I will involve myself with those of like mind and like heart and like spirit who themselves have come to you seeking relief, seeking freedom from sin, seeking freedom from their sinful nature. I want to come to you. I want to receive you as my Lord and my Savior. I want to walk in the freedom and the liberty that mankind can walk in who is committed to you, who's been born again, who's indwelt by your Holy Spirit. I'm coming to you, the one who shuts and no one opens. The door to glory, to eternal life, is closed to those who refuse to believe and receive Christ Jesus as Lord and Savior. Did you hear me? See, that verse goes on to say, and shuts, talking about the door to heaven, door to eternal life, and shuts and no one opens. Only Christ can open that door. Christ is the only one. He is the door. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is the door. To get into glory, to get eternal life in Christ Jesus, you've got to go to him, through him, into glory. The door to glory, to eternal life, is closed to those who refuse to believe and receive Christ Jesus as Lord and Savior. Did you hear me? That door's closed. Folks, it is closed. It is closed to those who refuse to believe and in simple childlike faith receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Mary cannot help. I realize the Catholic position. Mary is dead in her grave. What's left of her body is awaiting the resurrection. She herself awaits the resurrection, contrary to what the Catholic Church teaches. You will not find anywhere in the Scripture where it places Mary at the right hand of God the Father. No, Christ Jesus. Jesus occupies that space at the right hand of God the Father. Mary herself, the mother of Jesus, is awaiting the resurrection. Peter, chiefest among the apostles, cannot help. He himself awaits the resurrection. Peter is in glory. His body is in the grave. He himself awaits the resurrection. In Christ Jesus, and Christ Jesus alone, that can forgive and grant eternal life in the kingdom of God. It's God. It's Christ Jesus. It's Christ Jesus and Christ Jesus alone that can forgive. He paid the debt. Jesus paid the sin debt for any and all who would believe and receive him as Lord and Savior in simple childlike faith. By coming to him, saying, Jesus, I'm a sinner. I'll tell you what you do. You may be involved in an expression of religion. And you may be hearing some things today you have not really heard before. And you may have been putting your faith and your confidence and your trust in that system of religion. Trust me. Trust me. That system of religion will not get it done. Judaism was a system of religion. But those involved in Judaism who did not receive the Lord Jesus Christ died and went to hell. And we'll do so tomorrow and the day after that. You see, it's not a system of religion. It is relationship. It is the relationship of one born again, a sinner who has been born again and become a child of God, adopted into the family of God, has become a new creation and is becoming increasingly, continually more like Christ as they continue through the process of discipleship. It's Christ Jesus, and Christ Jesus alone that can forgive and grant eternal life in the kingdom of God. None other. None other. Mary can't do it. Peter can't do it. No dead apostle can do it. No person alive today can do it. No, Christ. Christ and Christ alone can grant entrance into the kingdom of God through believing and receiving him as Lord and Savior. Revelation 3:8. Jesus goes on, speaking to the pastor of the church. I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it. For you have a little strength, have kept my word, and have not denied my name. I know your works. You know what Jesus is saying to that pastor? I'm aware of your ministry. I am aware of your ministry. Listen to what I'm saying. He says to the pastor of the church, I am aware of what this church that you pastor is involved in. I am aware of what you're doing to advance the kingdom of God. I know what you're doing to reach unsaved souls. I know what you're doing to reach those who are lost without Christ, children of Satan. I know what you're doing to reach them, and then I know what you're doing to disciple them. I think that's one area where we have failed so miserably. We have failed to make disciples so many times out of those who have been born again. But he says to him, I know your works. Preacher, pastor, Church of Pennsylvania, I know your works. I am well aware of your ministry. I am aware, pastor, of every expression of your ministry. Oh, if every preacher on the face of the earth, if every God-called, God-anointed, Christ-anointed, Spirit-anointed, Spirit-led preacher would take this to task, I am aware of every expression of your ministry, preacher. Every expression. And guess what? He was then, he is now. And he is aware of every expression of ministry that he has birthed. If he didn't birth that ministry, it's not worth the time it takes to talk about it. He has to birth that ministry. He gave birth to the church. He did not give birth to all the variety of denominations that we have and all the spins of the doctrine, but he gave birth to the church. And understand who the church is. The church is the body of Christ. It is comprised of those who were sinners and they became born again. That is the church. Those sinners who've been born again. I don't care what kind of lifestyle you came out of. You may have been a whoremonger. You may have been a whore. You may have been a homosexual. You may have been a sodomite. You may have been a thief and a liar and a murderer. But once you come to Jesus, say, God, be merciful. Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Regardless of your past, regardless of the sin in your past, regardless of the depth of the sin in your past, regardless of the type of sin in your past, you come to Christ. Say, Jesus, be merciful to me, a sinner. Be merciful to me, a sinner. Come into my heart. Come into my life. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. And then let the Holy Spirit of God lead you and guide you and direct you into that expression of ministry where he wants to disciple you. Not every expression of religious activity was initiated and activated by God. Did you hear what I just told you? Understand this. Understand this clearly. Understand this carefully. Not every expression of religious activity, there's a lot of them. There is a lot of religious activity, but you must understand that not every expression of religious activity was initiated and activated by God. No, much of it was initiated and activated by men, influenced by Satan. Influenced by Satan. You have to understand that. That every expression of religious activity was not initiated and activated by God. He goes on talking to the pastor of the church. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it, for you have a little strength. He is saying to this preacher, I have opened a door for your expression of ministry. What a blessing. What an honor to have the Lord Jesus Christ open the door for that expression of ministry that he wants his church, that church, his church to be involved in. And each and every individual pastor, we're all separate individuals. We have our own gifting. We have our own anointing. And he is saying to this pastor, I have opened a door for your expression of ministry.
to how many pastors can he say that today? How many pastors have just fallen in step with a religious movement of some kind? Rather than getting alone with God and waiting before the throne of God and saying, I've got to have your mind, I've got to have your leadership, Holy Spirit of God, I've got to have your mind, I've got to have the mind of God, I've got to have the leadership, I've got to have your leadership, I've got to have your anointing, Holy Spirit of God, I've got to have it. Jesus says to him, to that pastor, I have opened a door. I, Jesus, the Messiah, God in the flesh, I have opened a door for your expression of ministry. Oh, that God, oh, that we would to God that he would open the door for every expression of the ministry that he has birthed. And we must be cognizant of that door. We must be sensitive to that door. And we, the leadership in the church, must go through that door. And we must lead the people that we're leading through that door that Jesus has opened. That Jesus opened. Not some organization. Not the influence of some organization. No. That door that Jesus himself has opened. I have opened a door for your expression of ministry. It cannot be shut by human effort. No human effort out of hell can shut this door, he says. For I have given you the strength to perform and to prevail. Look what he's saying to that pastor, to that church. I have given you, I, Jesus, God in the flesh, the Messiah, I have given you the strength to perform and to prevail. Look at this. He says, see, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it, for you have a little strength and have kept my word. I have set before you, preacher, pastor, an open door, and no one can shut it, for you have a little strength. That local body that you, pastor, has a little strength, preacher. And then he says, and have kept my word. How many of us can say that? How much of the church that they can say, we have kept your word, Lord? How much of that is lacking today? Jesus said to that church, you have kept my word. I say again, how much of that is lacking today? Have we kept the word? Should we? Have we kept the word? You see, had we listened to me, listen to me carefully. Had we kept the word, we would not be where we are today. Let me say that unmistakably clear to you. Put on your listening ears. Say to the Holy Spirit of God, help me understand. Had we kept the word of God, had we kept his word, we would not be where we are today. With the moral breakdown that we've seen in our nation. And he continues. We have had a moral breakdown in our nation, and we have a continuing moral breakdown in our nation, and all you've got to do to validate that is look at the news day by day. Read the news day by day. I don't spend a lot of time doing that. I try to catch the high spots. I try to get those that speak to the where we are today as a nation. In the sight of God. You see, the lawlessness that abounds in our nation speaks to the moral breakdown in this nation. The moral breakdown and the lawlessness. Folks, we have a nation eat up with lawlessness. It abounds in our nation. But Jesus says to them, I have set before you an open door. And no one can shut it, for you have a little strength, have kept my word, and have not denied my name. And you have not denied my name, regardless of all the opposition at every level. Regardless of all the opposition you've been up against, they were under Roman control. They were under the Roman government. And yet, regardless of all the opposition, they had remained faithful. They had not denied the name of Jesus, even if it cost them imprisonment, even if it cost them their life. They would not deny the name of Jesus. They had not denied his name, and they had remained faithful to him. Not only had they not denied his name, but in the midst of all of the ungodliness and the idolatry and the immorality and the perversity, they had remained faithful. They remained faithful to him. They had a faithful leader. They had a non-compromising leader as a pastor. He wouldn't compromise with the devil. He wouldn't compromise. He stayed strong and kept leading the church, and they followed, and they get commended for it. Romans 3:9. Indeed, oh, this verse, folks, listen to this carefully. Put on your listening ears and listen carefully. Indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan. The synagogue of Satan? He's writing to the pastor of the church. But in that city, and perhaps even in that church, indeed I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews and are not, but lie, indeed I will make them come and worship before your feet and to know that I have loved you. Indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say they're Jews and are not, but lie. They were Jews who were in reality the children of Satan. They were not following God. They were Jews, yes. By nationality, they were Jews. Jews by birth, they were children of Satan spiritually. Born of Jewish ancestry, yes. They had been born of Jewish ancestry, yes, but not born again. They had never been born again. They had refused Jesus as the Messiah. Refusing Jesus as the Messiah, they set in motion that which would cause them to be in total, complete conflict with God himself. The Apostle Paul made the same point to Romans. When he wrote the book of Romans in Romans chapter 2, verse 25, beginning there, the Jewish ceremony of circumcision has value only if you obey God's law. But if you don't obey God's law, you are no better off than an uncircumcised Gentile. And the Gentiles, and if the Gentiles obey God's law, won't God declare them to be his own people? Romans 2:27. In fact, uncircumcised Gentiles who kept God's law will condemn you Jews who are circumcised and possess God's law but don't obey it. Religious, oh yes, religious, eat up with religious activity, not in obedience. For you're not a true Jew just because you were born of Jewish parents or because you have gone through the ceremony of circumcision. No. A true Jew is one whose heart is right with God. And true circumcision is not merely obeying the letter of the law. Rather, it is a change of heart produced by the Spirit. And a person with a changed heart seeks praise from God, not from people. Oh, my soul, listen to me. Some of you involved in this message today, you are involved in religious activity. And maybe from your childhood, from your youth up, you were taught this is the system of religion that will make you right with God and will get you into glory when you die. It won't do it if you're not born again. You must be born again. Paul, speaking to Jews, was making that point to them. It's not enough to be a Jew. And so many of you are Jews and you're involved in traditional Jewish activity, but you haven't been born again. Whether you're a Jew or a Gentile, if you're going to go to glory when you die, you've got to be born again.
You must come to that point in time when you recognize yourself as a sinner and say to God, I'm a sinner and I want to be born again. I want to be adopted into the family of God. I want to be indwelt by the Spirit of God. I want my name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Oh, I hope you're getting this. There are those today who claim a denominational identification and yet are in reality children of Satan. Did you hear me? We have multitudes today who claim a denominational identification and yet, in reality, they're children of Satan. Once again, Revelation 3:9. Indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews and are not, but lie. Indeed, I will make them come and worship before your feet and to know that I have loved you. Once again, these are those among the unsaved Jews. Jews by nationality, Jews by birth, but unsaved. How many unsaved Gentiles are there today with membership in a local church? I'm speaking today. I have no doubt whatever. I'm speaking to Gentiles today who are members of a local church, but your name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life because you have never truly recognized yourself as a sinner, deserving death, deserving separation from God through all of eternity, and deserving hell. You said, but wait a minute, Bob. Hey, I'm a pretty decent person. I vote, I pay my taxes, I do this, I do. You haven't been born again. Have you become a new creation in Christ Jesus? Do you hate the things you once were, you once did, the places you once went? Do you now embrace the Word of God, the character of Christ? Do you invite the Holy Spirit daily to enable you and empower you to live a godly, holy, separated life, to be pleasing to the Father, pleasing to the Son? Now Jesus continues speaking to the church at Philadelphia. Because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. The promise made here is to the church at Philadelphia. It does not speak to the end times of the future. Hear me carefully. What Jesus said to the church at Philadelphia in chapter 3 of Revelation, verse 10, that promise made here is to the church at Philadelphia. It does not speak to the end times church in the future. Albert Barnes, an American theologian, scholar from 1798 to 1870, makes this alteration of that verse. Tacitus is widely regarded to have been among the most important Roman historians, mentioned an earthquake that sank 12 cities in Asia Minor in one night, by which, among others, Philadelphia was deeply affected. And it is possible that there may have been reference here to that overwhelming calamity. But nothing can be determined with certainty in regard to this. He is speaking, though, for sure, to the end times. Revelation 3:11, behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast to what you have, that no one may take your crown. You see, I'm in the camp who believe. And I'm there unapologetically. Unapologetically, I'm in that camp of believers who believe that when Christ returns, it will be an immediate appearance and a progressive coming. I am in that camp that says when Christ returns, there will be an immediate appearance in the heavens, and all the nations of the world will be able to see him, and then there will be a progressive coming. Revelation 3:12, he who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. And I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God. And I will write on him my new name.
This speaks to all the redeemed in every age. All the redeemed in every age can take that verse and apply it to themselves, because it applies to each and every one of us who have been born again. Revelation chapter 3, verse 13. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Understand this, not everyone has an ear to hear. Not everyone has an ear to hear. And you might want to ask the Lord. You may want to ask the Lord to give you ears to hear. You might want to pray, say, Jesus, please, Father, give me ears to hear. Heavenly Father, I'm going to ask you to take the message and use it as you will, in the lives of whom you will. I'm going to ask you to take this message, Father, and use it to advance the kingdom of God, do damage to the kingdom of darkness, bring truth into light, cut through error, cut through false religious doctrine, and bring forth truth that will stand as truth before the throne of God. And Father, bring many into the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ this day. And Father, for those who already know Christ as their Savior, strengthen, encourage, quicken them, and use us all as salt and light in this sin-cursed, sin-darkened civilization. And we thank you and bless you and thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.